Live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's the Zach Ballinger Show, where we help you find your direction through passion and purpose. My name is Zach Ballinger. I'm your host. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Two ways you can interact with the show. We are streaming live via YouTube. Subscribe to that link and you can get all of our up-to-date episodes. As well, if you have any questions for me and my guests, pop them into the comment box. We'll make sure to get to them. Always, you can email me, zach@zachballinger.com. We will ask those questions to the guests today. We are excited to be adding another addition to the career library. As you guys know, we are adding careers all throughout North America. We have a family nurse practitioner today. Denise, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Zach.
And so, Denise, can you kind of tell me about your profession as a family nurse practitioner? Let's open it up that way.
So I currently work in an internal medicine practice. So I graduated with a degree in family nurse practitioning back in 1999. So it's been just a few minutes. And when I initially graduated and when I was initially in a program, there weren't very many different segues into to nurse practitioning. You were kind of either a pediatric nurse practitioner or a family nurse practitioner. And then you figured out your path within that. Nowadays, if you go into it, you have multiple different paths that you can take. You can do a career or an education in emergency room nurse practitioning. But I did family nurse practitioning and I've done multiple different things. I worked in an emergency room. I've worked for Carnival Cruise Lines for 5 years as a nurse practitioner. I did traveling and now I have settled into an emergency or into an internal medicine practice.
Now, a lot of questions I get from students because people actually strive to be a family nurse practitioner now, especially. Do you recommend, how was your pathway as far as, did you start off as an RN or did you go straight into school knowing, hey, I want to be a family nurse practitioner?
So I actually went into school not wanting to do nursing at all. I was listening to your physician talk, your plastic surgeon interview a while back. I also wanted to be an attorney when I was in school.
Interesting.
And when I was in high school, my senior year, I could have graduated a year early, but I had been in school with the same people. I was in a small school from first grade through 12th grade. So what I did was I did kind of a I don't know what they call them, but where you can go down to a local community college. So I finished by 10 o'clock in the morning at my high school, went down and took community college classes. And the reason I say this is because finally, to make my dad stop begging me to be a nurse, I turned in my nursing application along with my college application. And I got accepted into nursing school the second semester of my freshman year in college. And that is fairly unheard of. So it's a pretty tough program to get into. So I ended up getting a 2-year nursing degree, and about halfway through my nursing path, I had decided I wanted to be a nurse practitioner. But when you're looking at the nurse practitioning career and you're looking at a physician's assistant career, the main difference is us straight out of school, because a nurse practitioner started out as a nurse, and you have to have 2 years of experience prior to becoming a nurse practitioner, sometimes even starting school.
Thank you for clarifying that. That's good to know, especially for my audience, because we do have a physician as this assistant coming on in a couple weeks. And so I appreciate you talking about that. What do you love about your job? What gets you going in the morning?
So part of what I had discovered while I was in school was that I really loved patient education. I'm very passionate about education just in general. And then what I found I really excelled at and enjoyed doing was making sure a patient understood every aspect of their healthcare. And as a nurse practitioner, I really get to focus a lot in on doing that. And that's oftentimes the feedback I get from patients. I just had a patient yesterday, as I went through their lab results, say, I have never in all my years of going to a provider had them explain my labs the way you just did.
It's awesome. And, you know, I always encourage people out there to do preceptorships and job shadowing. And it's been a little bit challenging with the pandemic to have you live. So this is a great question to ask you virtually. Let's say somebody followed you around on a Monday or a Tuesday and they woke up with you. They went into your internal medicine practice. What does your day look like from beginning to end?
Well, do you want to know prior to me converting to a virtual practice from Texas to California or when I lived in California? Because my career has actually gotten very diverse since July of last year as well. But if you, so like you said, let me take it first if you went in with me during the day. So I would arrive at work probably about 15 minutes prior to my first patient coming in at 8 o'clock. I would try to hit my message center to look at to see if I have any new labs or anything that's urgent within my message center. Then the nurses are rooming, my MAs are rooming my first patient. And then I see patients straight through. Oftentimes, I will be completely honest, I oftentimes work through lunch. Most providers, a lot of providers don't. We strive to not work through lunch, but I have, and I do all of the things I can possibly do to try to speed along my visit so patients aren't waiting too long. But because of that patient education piece of it, I do tend to run late. And that's, I have, when patients establish with me, that's one of the first things I tell them. If you want somebody who is immediately on time for your visit, I'm probably not going to be the right provider for you, but I do enjoy educating you. And if that's part of what you want, then I may be the right provider for you. But it's important as a patient to have somebody that you're comfortable with and that you trust. And if that's not me, then I hope you continue to look for that.
That's so awesome how transparent you are in that environment. That's so great. Now, what are some of the challenges about your job? You know, it seems like a lot, this is really a growing field out there because like you said, not only in internal medicine and emergency care, we often see family nurse practitioners in multiple specialties. So we have rheumatology, nephrology. We see this as a growing trend as healthcare trends change. What are some of the challenges that you face in your job that, you know, the kids out there or entry-level professionals should know?
Well, I think it's important to understand that medicine is not an 8-to-5 job, no matter what you decide to do. It's going to be something that's going to take more of your time. And I think that you need to have that knowledge when you're coming in, that there are emotional tolls on being with patients. And if, you know, that's what a patient needs from you. They need that empathy. They need that, they really need that from you. And it takes a piece of you with that as well. So having an area and an aspect of self-care, making sure that you're continuing to do that. And then trying to find ways to make sure that you have a work-life balance. It is very easy to take care of everyone else and not take care of yourself. And I think a lot of professions where the profession is about taking care of other people, that's a very easy pit to fall into, is that you forget to take care of yourself.
And, you know, let's take you mentioned the lawyer, but maybe let's take you into a time machine. We're going to go back in time. And you're pretty young, so this is not going to take long. So we get there and it's about second grade, third grade, fourth grade. What did Denise dream of doing as a young girl?
I think that one of the first memories I have is my dad saying, my mom was a nurse, my dad's a respiratory therapist. So my parents are in the healthcare profession. And my dad saying, oh, you need to become a nurse so that you can go wherever your husband needs to go. And bless my father. But my response in sixth grade was, but why can't my husband move where I need to go to? And so that was, I don't think I had at that time a very specific thing I wanted to do. I just knew that I wanted to be in something that I was passionate about and that meant something to me, that I didn't just go into a career because of the kind of money I might make or because I could follow my husband somewhere. Although ironically in July, I followed my husband somewhere, but I really wanted it to be something I was passionate about and that I love to do. And you had mentioned, you know, making sure that you get kind of a taste of things. So when I was 16, my dad said, okay, it's time to have a job. That was, you know, a career or contribution, having work ethic was really important in my family, still is. And so I was involved in varsity sports. I was involved in drama. I was involved in singing in high school. So I ended up getting involved. I started out in medical records in the hospital my parents worked at in the small town we were in. And what was terrific about that job was that I could come in. It was back in the day of paper charts. So my job was really to come in and file away all the paper charts that had been pulled all day. And when I, as long as I would had as many charts as there were, I was there for that many hours and then clocked in and out. So it was something I could do completely around my own schedule, around my high school schedule, which was great. And it gave me a first taste into being in the hospital outside of the fact that my parents had always been there. And then as I, when I got into nursing school, I did start working as a CNA and a ward clerk on a nursing unit. I think all of those are really important steps because if you're going to be a nurse, if you're going to be a nurse practitioner, it is very important to see what that means before you take all the time for the education. You may find out, you know, you go into nursing school and then you find out, you know, I really don't like to be at the patient's bedside. That's not going to be the right job for you because that's what your job entails. And the patients need you to be about them and there for them. So it's important to know that before you try to spend all that money on schooling.
Great advice. What skills do you think you need to be successful in your job?
You need to be able to talk to people. Hands down, you need to be able to talk to people. You need to be able to empathize with people. You hear people talk all the time about seeing a provider that they felt didn't listen to them, that didn't really hear what they had to say. So being able to sit back and listen to somebody and talk to them and have them really feel like you're hearing them is very important.
And, you know, talk to this about, you mentioned that it's kind of competitive to get into nurse practitioner school. I get a lot of questions, from students. Do you recommend that they try to get in as a RN first, get their experience, and then see if they actually want to see patients on a level that you're seeing them? Or how do you talk to, if you were, let's say a student showed up at your door, they're like, I'm interested in nursing. I'm also interested in being a nurse practitioner. What would you say to them?
So I would say one of the first things to do is try to go volunteer at a hospital. See how you do around patients, around people, see if that around people that don't feel well. Because remember, people don't usually, as a nurse practitioner, it's a little bit different when you're doing primary care and internal medicine, but people tend to not come to see you when they're feeling great. It's actually something you have to prompt them to do to take care of their preventative medicine. So I would recommend volunteering first. And then I had the great kind of segue, and I believe they still have them. I should have looked this up before we started the show, but I started out with a 2-year nursing degree. So I took the 2 years. My plan again was to go to law school with my 2-year nursing degree. But I did a 2-year nursing degree and then I worked, knew that I wanted to continue to pursue. In the middle of the nursing degree, I knew I wanted to be an NP, but I still had to take the time to get done with my nursing program, get my experience, see if that was still something I wanted to do. And then I actually found a program that was an accelerated program in San Diego. So I went from my 2-year nursing degree to my master's degree in 3 years. It was a lot of work. It was very hard. And I worked at the same time. But Those programs do exist. Although they are looking at, I know nurse anesthetists, if you're considering being a nurse anesthetist, everybody in nurse practitioning has to have the nursing degree first. You need to be working as an RN. So if you're looking at trying to save money and you can find a 2-year program, that's a great way to do it because you can continue to earn money while you're in school.
Just for clarification, the 2-year program is an LPN, correct?
That's actually, an LPN is different than an RN. So if you did an LPN, you would have to actually then continue on and get an RN and then continue on to get your NP. As a master's degree, although what I started to say is a nurse anesthetist, they're moving to a doctorate program next year. So there is conversation within the community about changing it to a doctorate program from a master's program.
We actually have a nurse anesthetist. I always get that.
That's right, nurse anesthetist. Yeah.
coming up in a couple of months to explain their career. So that's pretty awesome. Now, talk to us about, you know, I get this questions from students all the time. So they want to be an MD. And I always encourage them, have you ever looked at a PA level or a nurse practitioner level? Because when you talk to them, it's all about patient care, patient education, being with the patients, seeing them. And not that I discourage anybody from MD school. I don't. If you get in and you want to go, great. But, you know, there's always backup plans in life. Things don't work out the way you do. And MD is very competitive as well. What would you say to a student that was like, you know, should I do a, because I get this question, should I be a nurse practitioner? Should I be a PA or should I go on to get my MD?
So there's a couple considerations, obviously, with all of it. Number one, go volunteer at a hospital, make sure that's where you want to be first. And then you could get you could go ahead and be an MA. That's a certificate program where you're actually, you know, you're working with patients. You can work in an office as an MA. So if you're wanting to look at a way to actually continue to make money while you're continuing to look at your career, that's a way. That's a certificate program. And then you need to step back and say, okay, so where do I want my focus? So, and how much money do I want to spend? I think it is incredibly important that there's the differentiation between the mid-level position and a physician. I'm not a doctor. And I think that when that gets lost in the shuffle, and this is me personally, because there were a lot of students I went to school with that wouldn't say the same thing. But I think it's very important to understand that I'm not a physician and the limits of my education. But having said that, patient care in the internal medicine practice, I function the same way my internal medicine physician does. And I see patients the same way my internal medicine physician does. I do go to her frequently with questions when there's something, especially in internal medicine, because those are patients with more comorbidities on a regular basis than a family practice oftentimes sees. Not always, but sometimes. So I think it's important to know that limitation in your education. Having said that, a nurse practitioner and a PA, you know, I'm what, 1999 to now, I'm about, you know, I don't know, 21 years out of school. And a physician's assistant and myself that graduated in the same year that's working in an internal medicine practice are essentially doing the same job. The difference between us is right out of school and whether or not because I have that 2 years of nursing experience, and as a physician's assistant, they don't need the nursing experience. So are you already in college? Have you already started college classes? Physician's assistants can have a 4-year degree with a few, you know, when you talk to the PA, they can tell you through their curriculum what they needed to get into PA school. But you don't have to have a nursing degree and you don't have to have the 2 years of nursing experience to be a physician's assistant. So if you're already in school, you're already down that path. You've already taken some college courses. You've already paid for college, university. Then you might want to consider the physician's assistant instead of the NP because you're already down that path.
Denise, I really appreciate that explanation. That's clear cut. I get that question all the time. I think you did a great job on that. And I love how you talk about volunteering, because that's a chapter in my book, Don't Be a Zombie, How to Find a Career You Love, is get out in your community volunteering, and not only just in medicine, but first of all, there's a lot of professionals that are volunteering in the community and people don't realize that. And so number one, that's a great way to network. And number two is it gives you exposure, like you're talking about volunteering your hospitals. Do you really want to interact with patients? I remember I talk about it in the book. I actually thought I wanted to be an MD at one time, and I followed around a doctor for a day. And at the end of the day, it was actually an internist. I said, how in the world do you do this job? In other words, I didn't like it. Right. And so I knew it right after that full day. And but his eyes lit up when he talked to patients. He just loved his job. And that's why he had me come along with him. And I said, I can't do this. And so it's so important to volunteer. And plus, you build out your network as well. So even if you don't like it and you're out there volunteering at a hospital, I tend to see nurses and nurse practitioners. They love to be with the patients. They love to be at the hospital. They love to be in clinic. They like to be around people. And you're going to know pretty quick. That's why I love medicine, because I feel like it's the easiest pathway to find your passion. If you think you're passionate about it, you're going to know from that volunteer experience if you want to pursue it.
Is very true. Oh, yes, very much.
Now let's talk about something you're doing, and then we'll get to the questions. So, you know, you talked about that you're seeing patients in an internal medicine practice. You're dealing with human symptoms, but you're also an animal lover. And then that the experience that you had led to, you know, you having an animal and talking to a vet. Explain your story. I know you've written some books out there on children's and you can explain that to me and my audience, but explain your story.
Thank you. Yes, I ended up, so in the midst of my traveling, I was still single. And when I was living in Miami Beach, Florida, I rescued a Yorkshire Terrier named Harley. And in Harley's story, which is the first of a book in a children's series, Life Lessons from Fur Friends, Harley tells his own story about being rescued and being diagnosed with diabetes. So here's where my career fits into that path. I ended up in 2010, I called up my vet and said, look, Harley is having potty accidents, even though he's potty trained. He is urinating more frequently and he's drinking more water. In a human, that's diabetes. What is that in a dog? And the vet's response was diabetes. And the 10 years since then have been an overwhelmingly interesting experience through pet rescue, pet special needs, and learning how much crossover there is for humans and pets with illness and treatment. He ended up treated with insulin, the exact same, actually human insulin. So it has been a fascinating experience to learn all of that. Now, the children's picture book, I really wrote it for both children and adults for several different reasons. Number one, the vet had said that the majority of the time, humans don't recognize the symptoms in their animals. And by the time they bring them in, they have to put them down because they are that far past the disease process and their organs, they're in organ failure. I didn't want that to happen to another person or family with a pet, if possible. And then I wanted to highlight special needs rescues as well, because there are plenty of animals that their humans can't continue to take care of them after they've been diagnosed with special needs. And finally, I have been to multiple juvenile diabetes fundraisers, walks, obviously prior to COVID. And the look on a child's face that has diabetes or that has any other kind of special needs, and they pick up this book and they look at this dog and they say, a dog can have the same thing I do. And then they don't feel alone. They don't feel as isolated. Those are the reasons I wrote it and some unexpected, wonderful things that have come out of having the book.
Wow, that's a powerful story. Very, very interesting and so awesome. Where can people find this book? You know, do you have any links or anything you can share with us?
I do. So it is on Amazon. That is the best place to purchase it. I have a second edition. So it comes out May 30th and it will be on discount for Kindle at 99 cents, actually, from May 30th to April 6th. And so you have to look for, not like the others, Harley's story, Life Lessons from Fur Friends, to make sure you get the updated version, because it is a significantly updated and improved version of the story. And then my website always, DeniseGrzynski.com.
And so we'll actually post the website, because that's got your book link in it, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We'll post your book, your website into the notes. So if you guys want to check out that book on Amazon and more of what Denise does, you can check her out there. Denise, I did have a couple of questions I wanted to get to, and then we'll set you free. So, you know, the first question that comes in, it says, as a nurse practitioner, do you ever get looked down at from other colleagues by not being an MD from patients?
So there are oftentimes questions. Patients will come in and they will say, oh, I thought I was establishing with the doctor in the practice. And I think part of that is an understanding about what it is that we do and that it's a partnership with the physician. And I think that's an important thing as me, I kind of briefly mentioned it before, for me as a provider, that it is a partnership with the physician. I didn't go to medical school. I don't have that knowledge. I have quite a bit of knowledge and I love patient education. So that's usually my explanation with the patient is, you know, doc, my physician and I are partners in your care. I will be the first one to be honest and open with you when we've hit kind of the limit of where my expertise ends and when we need to bring the physician in, or we need to send you to a specialist because sometimes it's above and beyond that. And after almost seven years of working with my current physician, we work so well that I actually know when, okay, let's get you in with a visit with Dr. Oh, I keep trying to say her name with my physician. I don't know that she wants me to broadcast her name. So, you know, let's get you in to see the physician or let's go ahead and refer you to a specialist. And I know those things at this point. But the patients always have the opportunity to see either or. So I think it's a matter of, number one, not being offended by the question and looking at it more as we're going to educate about what it is I do, what I've been trained to do, and how that differs from the physician and how we're going to use that partnership.
Awesome. Great explanation on that. And then the final question comes in from a freshman, says, I know I for sure want to do nursing. It's a passion of mine. What would you recommend I major in?
Well, isn't so he wants to be, he or she wants to be a nurse?
Yeah. So I'm assuming you'd be major
in
nursing.
There's a nursing degree. Yes. So you would major in nursing, but again, to put that application kind of up and give yourself a heads up above the other people that are applying for nursing school, really focus on grades and volunteer, just like you've recommended, Zach, and we've talked about already multiple times. I may sound like a broken record, but that's going to actually give you a heads up even in that application to nursing school and nurse practitioner school, if that's where you decide to go. I think it says a lot about you if you've taken those extra steps. And if you have the time to do it, get your certification as a medical assistant, and you can start working now to start earning money even as a freshman.
So awesome. Love the answer. I'm glad you've emphasized volunteering because I sound like more of a broken record than you do because they hear it from me all the time. I'm like, get out in your communities now. Do not wait, or get out in the virtual world and start volunteering. Get interaction, do as much activity you can. Sitting on your couch watching Netflix isn't going to find your passion a lot of the times. Denise, thank you so much for joining the show. This has been very helpful. We know you're a very busy provider, seeing patients, dedicating your patient education to them, writing these children's books for people that are out there with, especially with, like you said, children that feel alone. I think that's amazing what you're doing. We really do appreciate your time. This has been a very informative. We've gotten a lot of good feedback, and we want to just say thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Have a great day.
You as well.